Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode of Just Us Talks with Tisha. I am your host, Tisha Hillman. We are here each and every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we are bringing you all things politics, social justice, and the law. And we talk a lot about the things that are going on in this country as it relates to politics, because what's happening in our country and what happens in politics have implications in the law, because our system of political and legislative changes and things like that come from the very laws that we have enabled our legislative branch to enact. And so the laws that are executed by the executive branch are a result of the laws that are made by the legislative branch. And so this is why I always tell folks, vote, 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 vote in every election, regardless of how small and inconsequential you may think it is, because at the end of it all, the people that we put in office are going to make the policies, they're going to make the laws, they are going to make the changes, good, bad, or otherwise, our daily lives. So in our country, there's always so much going on. And what's happened in the last week, I say this every week and without fail, every single week, I have so much information to talk about, because so many crazy things happen in our country on a daily basis, sometimes even hourly. So this past week, the Attorney General, Jefferson Beauregard Sessions, because you guys know I have to say it that way. How else do you say Beauregard, right? Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General of the United States, was speaking to a group of law enforcement officers, and he made the statement that the Sheriff's Department is a critical part of the Anglo-American heritage of law enforcement. Now, that may not sound like a problematic statement, but to those of us who understand that dog whistles have been going on since before this current administration was elected, that's a problematic statement. And it may not be as problematic if Attorney General Sessions did not have a history of making racial comments and being blatantly racist and supporting a racist agenda. And so if you guys remember, before he was confirmed, there was a letter that I would say it's more of a memo, if you will, but maybe a letter. Either way, it was a correspondence from Coretta Scott King, where she went into explicit detail about how Attorney General Sessions should not have been confirmed for I think he was running for either Attorney General or something like that of the state from which he's from. And so she was talking about, his history and his ties with the KKK and other white supremacist organizations, and essentially about how his election would be harmful to people of color. And before he was confirmed, that letter was published all over the place, and people saw it, people read it, and yet still confirmed. And so given that history, and then given his he's renewed his attack on marijuana. And so if any of you guys recall, the Reagan administration, quote unquote, war on drugs, which was an absolute failure. And essentially, at the end of this quote unquote war on drugs, the information came out that it was nothing more than an attempt to target people of color. Wars and, you know, these operations are, they're an attempt to target people of color. And so many people have written articles and books and all sorts of things about this war on drugs. And so the fact that Attorney General Sessions has renewed that war on marijuana specifically, even in states where marijuana is actually legal, he has decided that he is going to prosecute people for marijuana possession. And so we know that overwhelmingly that is going to target black and brown people. Because even in states where it is legal and there are dispensaries and things like that, the people that are growing marijuana and, you know, have grow shops and, you know, shops that they sell marijuana and things like that, they're overwhelmingly white folks. And there's a number of reasons for that, and I've talked about this on the show, but I am going to do another show about that because there have been some advancements as it relates to that as well. And so when you're talking about targeting people who possess marijuana, we are talking about black folks and we are talking about brown folks. And so the fact that Attorney General Sessions is renewing that is a problem. In addition, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, and I've talked about this as well, if you guys recall, a few months ago, there was a report by the Department of Justice that was talking about these black identity extremists. And so what the administration has labeled as black identity extremists is largely unknown, to be honest with you. And they're saying that these black identity extremists are, you know, targeting police officers. And, you know, their goal is to harm or to kill police officers. Now, when Attorney General Jeff Sessions had to testify about what that actually meant and ask questions about the report about black identity extremism, he stated that he had never seen it. And if you guys remember, anytime he testifies, it's always funny because he develops amnesia all of a sudden because most of his answers are, I do not recall. And so when it came to this report, he said, well, I'd be curious to read it because I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't read it. And so when he was asked to define black identity extremists, he couldn't define it. So if the Attorney General of the United States cannot define a term that came out of his department, who can define it? Whose role is it to define these black identity extremists? And so what this is largely translated into is people of color that are speaking out about injustices at the hands of law enforcement or at the hands of our government are being targeted by our government for speaking out. And last week I talked about this very issue because there was a young man who was prosecuted under this new policy as it relates to black identity extremists, although he had committed no crime, although he had not killed a law enforcement officer or targeted a law enforcement officer. So it's very up in the air and very objective. Very subjective as to what this actually means. But those of us who follow this information, we know that it means silencing people of color who dare speak out about injustices. And if you guys have followed my show for the last year, you know that I talk a lot about constitutional policing, issues that this administration has as it relates to their failure to abide by the Constitution despite them taking an oath to follow the Constitution. And so when it comes to following the Constitution, it seems to be very much like Attorney General Jeff Sessions' memory. I do not recall. So you know, most often when we're talking about the policies and things of this administration as it relates to people of color, they're bad. And so I always go back to now the president talking during the election season when trying to get people of color, specifically black Americans, to vote for him. He stated, "What do you got to lose?" And what I say to that is everything. Because now we have an administration that is targeting people of color, not only for deportation, not only for not being able to enter the country at all if you are from a from one of those seven targeted Muslim countries, but now if you are a black person who happens to speak out about injustices, even though you have the right to, you know, to address your government when it comes to grievances, it doesn't matter when it comes to this current administration. And so the statement that Mr. Sessions made to these law enforcement officers, department being a critical part of Anglo-American heritage of law enforcement, even if that were the largest Freudian slip of Freudian slips, and it's not what he intended to say, it would not probably be so problematic if it were not coming from a person that had all of these connections to white supremacists, and if it were not coming from a person who had already made attacks on people of color, attacks on black people specifically, and made a plan to actually target black people for speaking out about injustices. So that's why that's problematic. So Jeff Sessions, you're a terrible person, and the racist policies of this administration are going to be widely felt by people of color. And so that's Jeff Sessions. I'm sure next week there'll be something else, because there always is. But also, if you guys haven't heard, I think this was either yesterday or the day before. I think it was yesterday. This president to cut back on people receiving food stamps, which we knew that already, because the plan has always been from this administration to get rid of government subsidies for people that need them. So whether that be Medicaid, Medicare, WIC, food stamps, public assistance, whatever that may be, because in their eyes, you know, these people are lazy, they don't want to work. And I told you guys last week about the attacks on people that receive housing subsidies and how expensive rent is just nationwide. Funny enough, just to digress for a second, I was watching the news yesterday and they were talking about in the District of Columbia, there was a, I guess, a housing lottery, so to speak, where this apartment, this new complex or whatever in Columbia Heights, they had 50 that they were opening up to low-income people to get into this building. People camped out overnight. Overnight, folks. So that should tell you how big this crisis is as it relates to affordable housing. So people camped out overnight to get 50 slots. And what they were stating is that the average cost for a studio apartment in the District of Columbia is $1,600. $1,600 for a studio apartment. Now, if you guys aren't familiar with studio apartments, they don't even have bedrooms. A studio apartment is essentially one big room, and everything is in that one room. So you got the kitchen, which is like, I forgot what they call it, but like a, in New York, it's like it's almost like a railroad sort of apartment where you have like a railroad kitchen that is, it's not huge at all, because remember, everything is confined into this one room. Then you may have like a bathroom off of that room, and you actually, you know, the living room is the bedroom, is everything. Everything is in this one room. $1,600 for that. Now, imagine if you have a family, or not even a family, just imagine having one child and needing an extra bedroom. So now you need a two-bedroom apartment for, you know, having children, or, you know, maybe you have a roommate or whatever the case may be. The average cost is $2,300 for a one-bedroom. $2,300. Now, folks, gentrification is another show, but these are largely the effects of the District of Columbia being gentrified. Because what happens is the people that were there already, because D.C., if you guys aren't familiar, used to be known as Chocolate City. And so, you know, D.C. was largely occupied by Black folks. And so over the last decade, maybe even longer than that, but at least over the last decade or so, Black people have largely been pushed out of the District of Columbia. White folks have moved in. And so now, when that happens, rent goes up, because so long as the people of color that are there, no one is investing in the neighborhoods. No one is building things up. And the fact that there may be, you know, crack houses or whatever the case may be, no one cares, because no one invests when the community is overwhelmingly Black. But businesses will come in. So whenever you see, we always have this joke, whenever you see yoga studios and Whole Foods, you know that your area has been gentrified. And the problem with that is that poor people can't afford to live there. Once that happens, the poor people get pushed further out. And so that's largely what's happened in D.C. And so now people that used to live there can't afford to live there anymore. So they're being pushed further and further and further out into Maryland. Largely into Maryland. I'm sure people also go to Virginia and things like that, but it's largely into Maryland. And even Maryland is expensive. And so people are being pushed further and further out into the other counties in Maryland. But the problem with that is that if people aren't making a livable wage, how do you afford to pay rent? I don't know the answer to that. So when you have an administration that is targeting people and wanting to take away housing subsidies and, you know, requiring people that receive these subsidies to work a certain amount of hours, I believe it was at least 20 hours a week in order to receive a subsidy. And even then, the subsidies were being capped. It's hard to cap a subsidy when the rents are so high. So folks, vote, because it matters. All of these things at stake. Every single thing is at stake based on who is elected in office and what their positions are. And so I talk about that because there's been this attack on the poor, because this administration has overwhelmingly been about targeting people of color, targeting the poor, and, you know, targeting Muslims and, you know, things like that. And we've talked about that on the show. But it's egregious, because what happens to people when they can't afford to live? Homelessness is going to increase. What happens to people when they can't afford to eat? People are going to shoplift because people have to eat. We talk about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and food and shelter is right up there on that hierarchy of needs. And so now, in this attack on the poor, anyone who is receiving food stamps, what this president wants to do is replace your food stamps with boxes of food. So if you are old enough to remember, many, many, many years ago, like in the 80s, when you were receiving public assistance, the government would give you these generic-looking, ugly, black-and-white labeled cans of things like beans and jars of peanut butter. They would give you powdered milk. They would give you, like, a long block of cheese. So for those of you guys that remember, that government cheese did really make the best grilled cheese sandwiches. But I digress. So essentially, this administration wants to go back to that place. And I've seen it described in the media as several different things. So some people are talking about it as like a Blue Apron sort of meal plan or whatever. But largely I've seen it sort of described as, again, you get specific foods. Now, the problem with that, folks, not only is it stigmatizing, because that was one of the things that happened when food stamps used to be made of paper. The government changed and put them on a card to reduce the stigma so that poor people didn't have to walk into a grocery store and now everybody knows you're on food stamps because you're pulling out these paper coupons from a coupon book, right? And so now the benefits are on a card. And so the government now wants to go back to these meal plan or meal boxes or whatever. But it doesn't take into consideration people's dietary restrictions. It doesn't take into consideration allergies. It doesn't take into consideration people may have religious reasons for not eating certain foods. It does not also include fruits and vegetables. So if you are delivering to poor families non-perishables, that is not going to include milk, right? Because milk is perishable. And so maybe they will go back to that powdered milk mess that the government used to give people way back in the 80s. I don't know. But if you're giving non-perishables, people are not going to be able to eat fresh fruits and fresh vegetables. And so what's going to happen with that is not only are people going to once again be stigmatized, but it's going to increase the what is the word that I'm looking for? It's going to increase the drain on our healthcare system. Because if you're not able to eat fresh fruit and vegetables, that's going to be a problem health-wise. Because as we know, eating, you know, pasta and peanut butter is not a balanced diet, and it is not a healthy diet. But it doesn't seem like this administration is really concerned with that. But on the flip side, this administration also doesn't want to give people health care. So now, so follow me if you will, folks. So you have a situation where people are not being paid a livable wage and they don't want to increase the wage. People are not able to afford rent. And so where do you live? People are not, and if you can't do any of those things, people are not able to afford food. And so you feed them garbage. Then you don't want to give them health care, so when they do get sick, they can't go to the doctor. And so people are going to die because you have people that will be living in poverty, increasing the homelessness rate, decreasing the access to food, decreasing the access to health care. What is going to happen? Folks, this is a cluster. It really is. And it may be you know, the government's position is, oh, it will save money and it will prevent welfare fraud. Here's the thing, folks. If having paper coupons did not prevent welfare fraud, if having a card did not prevent welfare fraud, you know, I'm not really sure what people think is going to happen when it comes to these boxes of food. Because how do you feed a family on a box? And again, I don't know all the details. And I don't know if they've released all the details about how they plan to implement this. But what else are people going to eat? Like, is this going to be it? I don't know. But the thing that's interesting is the government says, of course, it's going to reduce welfare fraud, but they also say that it's going to save money. And if you guys remember a few weeks ago, I believe it was at the end of the year after the government passed what I refer to as the tax scam plan, where the taxes on the poor people, first of all, under 20,000, I think it was 20,000 or 15,000, they weren't paying taxes. And now they are. So now they're paying, I think it's like 10% taxes. So now, not only do you not make a livable wage, but now you're paying taxes on that non-livable wage. So, folks, this is just an awful situation, and it certainly is an attack on the poor. So when this administration talks about, people being classist and elitist, this is the very definition of elitism and classism and class warfare. And so, vote. Folks, lobby your legislators and your elected officials, because this is awful. This is an absolute terrible idea, especially coming on the heels of this tax plan, where the poor and the middle class taxes are being increased on the people that can least afford it, in order to give the wealthy a benefit. How is that fair? How is that fair? Is it going to trickle down? Of course not. And people's lives every single day are going to be impacted by this. And this is why I always state, folks, that it matters, because the law and politics are intertwined. These things matter. And so when we're talking about protecting our constitutional rights and protecting people's rights to just be treated as human beings, how I view it is those things also include things like food and shelter. And I do understand people's position that, well, our government shouldn't have to pay for that. Maybe that's true. But if we're talking about being decent human beings, do we really want to let the poorest among us and those who can least afford it suffer? I say no. But some people may say otherwise, but I say no. But folks, that's for the most part going to wrap up our show today. And so folks, just follow these stories. I know that it can get a little bit overwhelming because every day something new happens. But follow these stories because they really are important. And as always, vote, and know what your rights are. And we'll talk about that next week as we talk about making sure that you always know your rights in every forum, whether it be from a criminal law standpoint and a constitutional law standpoint, to whether or not you have a family and children and you want to know what your rights are as they relate to divorce and custody, things like that. Make sure that you always know your rights. And if you're ever curious and want to have a consultation about these things and you have a legal matter or you want to file a legal matter, be sure to give my office a call at 301-744-7996. You can follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. The handle is tshomanlaw.com. And if you'd like to visit our website, you can go there and schedule a consultation. My web address is www.tshomanlaw.com. So, folks, until next week, make sure that you know your rights. Make sure that if you have questions about your rights, that you reach out to our office, because when it comes to justice, sometimes it's just us. Thank you so much for tuning in today, folks. We'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.